Can European leaders get a handle on the debt crisis?
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From APM, American Public Media in New York. Good morning. I'm Jeremy Hobson with The Morning Open, a look at business and the economy as Wall Street starts the day. Coming up, European leaders try to calm nerves about Greece's debt problems, but with two big French banks being downgraded today, is the crisis spiraling out of control? But first, where's Wall Street? Stocks are higher this morning. The Dow up 35 points, about 0.3% at 11,141. The Nasdaq up 0.7%, and the S&P 500 up 0.4%. We got some news from rental car land this morning. Avis Budget Group says it's no longer going to try to buy Dollar Thrifty because of market conditions. That'll open things up for rival Hertz to pursue Dollar Thrifty. Now let's get to Europe with Josh Brown of Fusion Analytics. He joins us live. Good morning.
Good morning.
So, Josh, Moody's downgraded two French banks this morning, saying they are too exposed to Greek debt and don't have enough cash. Is this crisis spiraling out of control?
You know, I want to say it's spiraling out of control just by reading the headlines, but the truth is all the problems are very well known about. None of this is sneaking up on anyone, and I still think it's somewhat in control for the majority of Europe.
But there are people who are talking about this being the next Lehman Brothers. Now, I know we've heard that before, but could this be the next Lehman?
You know, there's something called the recency effect, where people look at something traumatic and everything coming up in front of it looks like it's the next so-and-so. I think rather than this being the next Lehman Brothers, really what we're looking at, not to be too cute, is the first breakup of the EMU, and it looks like that's pretty likely to play out.
That almost seems scarier.
In some ways, and for certain people and certain investors, it may be. But if we know about all these problems and it looks inevitable, the sooner we accept that, we can get a little bit more constructive. It's not going to be pretty. But once again, I don't think anyone will be surprised when it finally happens.
Josh Brown, investment advisor at Fusion Analytics, thanks so much.
Thank you.
So how do the Greeks feel about the debt crisis in Europe, which at the moment stems from Greece's debt problems? Well, I put that question to journalist John Syropoulos in Athens earlier this morning.
I think many of my fellow Greeks that I speak to feel very embarrassed about the image that Greece has now acquired in the world. But mostly most people feel very concerned about their children's future, because the crisis, it is now fully understood, is long term. And what people are afraid of is that they will lose middle-class status and that the Greek economy as a whole will simply drop off the world map for about 10 years. And they are seriously thinking about sending their children abroad.
That's journalist John Syropoulos, who spoke with us from Athens.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Chevrolet, maker of the new Volt, which plugs in anywhere and goes everywhere. Available in select markets. Details at ChevyVolt.com. By CSX, whose trains move a ton of freight nearly 500 miles on 1 gallon of fuel to help reduce fuel consumption. CSX, how tomorrow moves. And by Allianz, managing more than $2 trillion in assets and providing investment solutions through its affiliated companies in the U.S., AllianzUSA.com.
A group of corporate leaders, including General Electric CEO Jeffrey Immelt and Microsoft Chairman Bill Gates, says Washington is not spending nearly enough money researching new energy technology. The group is called the American Energy Innovation Council, and its members met with lawmakers from both parties on Capitol Hill yesterday. We are pleased to be joined now by a member of the council, Bill Gates. Welcome to Marketplace.
Great to be here.
Well, what exactly are you asking Washington to do?
Well, a group of business leaders came together to say that the investment in energy research is much lower than it needs to be, whether it's for getting low-cost energy or securing our energy supply or reducing environmental damage. We need breakthroughs. And the government funds research in a lot of areas, but in the case of energy, it's very low. And so we said that playing their key role, that's got to be increased by about $8 billion a year.
But that's a pretty big thing to ask for at a time when they're facing big trillion-dollar budget deficits.
Well, I mean, if you look at the country's challenges in terms of the the trade deficit and the impact that has on the economy. Energy spending is a big factor there. And, you know, I do think investing in the future is important at all times. The U.S. is by far the best at doing this type of innovation. It's the support of our universities and startups, national laboratories that really put us in a position to make breakthroughs that will help meet the world's energy needs, but also create great companies and great jobs here.
Finally, since so much of Washington's ability to make these kinds of investments hinge on the state of the economy, how would you rate Washington's handling of the economy?
All of us wish that more jobs were being created, and there's a lot of talk about how best to do that. Certainly innovation, if you take the right time frame, is the reason why I'm optimistic that we will see improvements both in the economy and the type of goods that get made. It's easy to underestimate innovation and what it means, but in the near term, you know, we're in the hands of the what the economists and politicians can do. As you move out in time, if you fund innovation, then you can be very optimistic about where things go.
Bill Gates, who is in a push for more investment in energy research. Mr. Gates, thanks so much for joining us.
Thank you.
And you can hear an extended interview, including Bill Gates' thoughts on getting the private sector involved in energy research, at marketplace.org. And finally, North Korea has had a hard time getting tourists to come visit, perhaps because of the cold weather or, you know, maybe it's the authoritarian regime. I don't know. But North Korea has just launched a cruise ship. Now, it's not exactly like the cruise ships that roam the Caribbean. According to a journalist who took a ride, the water faucets don't work and the cabins are dorm-like, and they take away your phones when you make a stop on shore. But the all-you-can-eat buffet, oh, actually, there isn't one of those either. In New York, I'm Jeremy Hobson. This is the Marketplace Morning Report. This is APM, American Public Media.
In an economy with more job seekers than jobs, there is a certain dilemma to be had, a trade-off, if you will.
There's an older segment of the working population that brings experience and a certain wisdom, and the younger generation brings a wonderful vitality.
I'm Kai Rizdal, Jobs Through the Ages, next time on Marketplace from APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.